Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Claire Guthrie-Gastanaga is the executive director of the ACLU of Virginia, and she is a very good friend of mine for many years. I haven't seen her in person in a while, but you know, as I was thinking, I've been very critical of what's happening at the state capitol with Democrats having taken over the General Assembly. And Claire, I'm not asking you to shoulder the entire burden of what's happening at the Capitol, but based on your Facebook posts, I don't think you're as hostile to things as I have been. And I thought, you know what, let me ask Claire to come on and kind of talk about how the ACLU sees some of the initiatives that have passed through the Capitol in the last couple of weeks. You're pleased with this? Anything jump out that you think is a hallmark, something good?
Yeah, John. I mean, there are a number of things that are going on that are really good, and there are some other things that are going on that could be better, and then there are some that I'd like to see not make the governor's desk.
Okay. Well, tell me what you think is super positive.
Well, I mean, super positive, and this is something on which you and I are just never going to be able to agree, are the changes that we're making in access to abortion. It is time that we realize that abortion is a medical procedure and should be treated as such and shouldn't be burdened with unnecessary regulations that don't serve a medical purpose. Second big picture issue is access to the ballot box. You know, Virginia was, before this session, one of the most difficult places to vote in the United States of America, assessed by some national organizations as being the second most difficult state in which to vote, including things like needing
what elements
are needing one of 20 excuses to vote absentee, you know, which didn't do anything except privilege some voters over others, and also, frankly, expose us to disclosure of information about ourselves that nobody has a right to know. Like, I need an absentee ballot because I'm pregnant. I need an absentee ballot because my family's not going to be at our house and we're going to be out of town. And all that information was available to the public. So no excuse absentee is a huge step forward. You know, the voter ID law that increased the, you know, limited the kinds of IDs that you could show and increased the burden on folks, you know, just there wasn't any predicate for it from an evidentiary perspective. So, I mean, I think there's some great things, and I'm really hopeful now that we can move forward to a place where we can amend our Virginia Constitution to guarantee a right to vote to everybody that can't be abridged by law, so we can't go backwards on some of that stuff. So those
what's
are,
making
and then,
you worried? What's making you, how would we go backwards? Walk me through that.
Go backwards, you know, toward Jim Crow, toward deciding that some people should be privileged to vote and others shouldn't. And, you know, frankly, voting is the essential currency of our democracy, and it should be available to every citizen of the United States equally, and it shouldn't, like our right to freedom of religion, our right to due process, our right to equal protection, shouldn't be subject to being taken away by the government because of something we did or because of who we are.
So this, specifically, you're talking about the felony issue and losing your right to vote there and having to petition to get your right
well
back.
Permanent loss. I mean, in Virginia, you lose your right to vote permanently if you're convicted of any felony, no matter what it is.
Right.
And you can only get it back if the governor makes an individual decision to give it back to you. And I just don't think any one person should be telling me whether I can spend the essential currency of democracy.
When it comes to the ID law, I know a lot of our audience is probably very hyped up about that because we are in a tug of war culturally about whether folks who are here illegally, not with the proper paperwork, should be granted licenses, which then could be used if someone is nefarious to try to get into the election booth and cast a vote. That's not of concern. That doesn't override some of the other desires you'd like to have to make everything more accessible, that kind of balance isn't.
Yeah, no. I mean, one, let's go to driver's license. We have a two-tiered driver's license system now, and that means that we have a driver's license we can give people that whose the only job of which is to make sure that people on our streets who are driving safely and have insurance. Real ID is what's necessary now to fly, going to be necessary to fly in an airplane or get in a federal building or really to be able to use for that kind of authoritative identification of you as a certain kind of person holding certain kinds of rights to be in the United States, whether as a citizen or otherwise. And so now we have this second tier, which I have the second tier ID and I'm going to travel on my passport because I don't want to put all my data in the federal system, which the Real ID is a consolidated federal database. And, Virginia resisted it for a long time with good reason, but now we have it. So that second tier driver's license is just a driving card. It's about making sure that everybody who is a resident of Virginia is required to prove they know the rules of the road and they can pass a driver's test and they have insurance. And so I think it's actually improved the prospects for Virginians to be safer because we have this, two things. Real ID, which is about the things that people care about in terms of, where you need to show who you are and your legal status, and then a driver's license that is a Virginia-based license that everybody knows is just about driving. And the voting ID part, you still have to have proof of identity, and you have to have proof of residence. And,
isn't it as simple as having a bill? I used to go to the swimming pool in Washington with my Vepco bill. And let's just say you didn't necessarily have to still be a resident of Washington to get into the swimming pool as long as you had a bill that had a name on it. And people weren't very careful about that.
I think the voting process is more exacting than that. But realistically, it's also a felony to present yourself at the polls fraudulently. Mm-hmm. And yet, we haven't been prosecuting large numbers of felons for voting booth fraud. And, obviously, we'll need to be vigilant. But shoot, in Oregon, they vote by mail, for gosh sakes, and it seems to work really well. So, I think we always should balance in favor of access to the ballot box whenever we can. And that's why, I feel really good about what's happening in that regard. I'm also very excited about the Virginia Values Act, which is...
I wanted to ask you about that. Tell me what has passed. I've gotten a lot of emails from Equality Virginia telling me that they're excited that this has passed, but I'm not sure what's in it. What's in it?
Well, here's what most people don't recognize. I mean, Virginia is one of four states in the country without a really functioning state civil rights act for anybody. And the Virginia Values Act is not just about sexual orientation and gender identity. It's about protecting all Virginians from discrimination on the job, in housing, and in public accommodations based on religion and national origin and race and gender. And in addition to disability and veteran status and sexual orientation and gender identity. And, obviously it's a huge step forward with respect to sexual orientation and gender identity because those specific personal attributes and human characteristics have not previously in Virginia law been recognized as areas of potential discrimination based on who you are.
If you are gay, if you come out as gay, you can't be fired immediately from your job just based on that one characteristic.
Right. I mean, and we've argued, and I think and our arguments have been well taken and recognized in the courts, that gender identity and sexual orientation, actually the way they operate and the way that people use them to discriminate, are aspects of sex discrimination. But we think it's also much better to say specifically, you can't fire somebody because they're gay. And I think that's really important to, having equality for all be really what our Commonwealth is about. So
does it
I'm
carve
excited
out
about
any
that.
Protection for religious it, institutions?
Absolutely. Yes, it does. And it includes both the standard requirements for religious accommodation that exist in federal statutes that have been operating, at large employers for a long time. It includes, a recognition that churches religious institutions have First Amendment rights to practice their religion, and the law isn't going to tell them who to give communion to or frankly, even who to marry. And so I do think it has protections that are focused on that. And I think we've been a partner in the process, obviously, because the ACLU cares both about non-discrimination and religious freedom. We want to be sure that the statute properly doesn't provide a license to discriminate based on religion, like, you know, when Lester Maddox wanted to tell people they couldn't come into his snack bar because they were black and the Bible said something about that. We don't want to give people a license to discriminate. At the same time, we want to recognize the First Amendment rights of both institutions and individuals where that's appropriate and warranted and necessary.
Claire Guthrie-Gastaniaga is the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union here in Virginia, and I've known you for a long time, and I always appreciate a civil, candid conversation. You know what? Maybe we'll have you back on at the end of the session. We'll talk through some of the things that passed and take some calls if you've got extra time. We're out of time right now. But
John, I'd love to do that, and, you know, we just don't spend enough time talking to each other. It'd be a pleasure to come back.
You're very nice. Claire, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll come back with more in just a moment. News Radio WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.